Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the Texas Public Radio, from the Source studios of the John L. Santikos, this is the Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Other international events have been pushing Russia's invasion of Ukraine off the front page, but that war has continued to grind on, many calling it a stalemate. But things have been developing on the battlefield and in the international community with diplomacy that indicate there could be a break that favors Ukraine. It's still early on, but many are saying things are changing. We're now joined by Ambassador Francis Rooney. He represented Florida's 19th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Congress, and also he served as a U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican, the Holy See. Ambassador Rooney, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me back on.
So we're seeing a lot of developments with Ukraine and Russia right now on the battlefield and in the international community. We saw a recent summit last week in Switzerland, where countries came together to discuss moving forward with Ukraine, supporting Ukraine. Where do you see where we are right now with the war?
Well, I think it's reached a really confusing and uncertain phase, with Russia all of a sudden doing better on the battlefield than they had previously, with Ukraine faltering a bit, and Russia even been able to intercept some of the missiles that we've given them. On the diplomatic front, it's nice to see that they had that summit. There's been way too little discussion of a diplomatic way out of this. Really, President Macron's been the only one publicly to call for Western Europe, UK, and US to come up with a solution and make Zelensky accept it.
Right. So we're seeing that Macron, you know, he's having his own elections. And in July 4th, the UK will be having their snap elections. Do you see that these elections in Europe, were many predicting a lurch to the right, except in the UK, was that going to be a challenge for future support for Ukraine?
Well, it could, in the sense that it's been the right that's been the most reluctant to fund the Ukraine, at least in this country that's been the case, as you know. But I think the Europeans have a more closer perspective on the Ukraine, being right there in Europe, being a half-hour flight away to most of Europe from Kiev, and the specter of Russia doing again to them what they did years ago.
So where do you see right now? Do you think that actually the momentum favors Russia?
Well, I wouldn't say it favors them, but it's definitely shifted towards them. I mean, the Ukraine seems to be faltering a bit, and maybe I kind of worry if the Ukraine's running out of good people. Because it's a small country, and they've had a lot of casualties. You know, Russia's had a lot of casualties too, but they got more people. And you know, as you know, in a war of attrition, the side with the most assets and resources usually survives and wins.
Right. So you've with the issue with the HIMARS that the United States has been able to provide to Ukraine, they've put a limit, a cap on how far into Russian territory those HIMARS can go in, those missiles, and take out, airfields and other assets of 100 kilometers. And so Russia simply has moved all those assets 150 kilometers into its interior. Do you think that cap is hindering Ukraine's ability to thwart off Russia?
Well, it's definitely hindering their ability to cause trouble inside of Russia, because it can only go in 100 kilometers. Like you say, Russia will just move everything. And the scary thing to me about the HIMARS is that Russia seems to have been able to jam some of the navigation of them, which is a pretty sophisticated weapon to be able to do that.
Right, and that's a great opportunity for the United States to actually recognize the limits of these HIMARS, which they didn't know that could be done.
That's right. And to come to find out, the Russians can do it, which is quite disturbing. It's a very uncertain time as to what's going to happen right now. I'll tell you that. Everybody is kind of a different mode. Russia's doing better. Ukraine's doing worse. The right wing in the United States is very to get the Ukraine on. The only thing I can see is I would like to see the Western Europe, the UK, and us come up with some kind of plan and make it public. And whether they got to go to Russia first and then Zelensky or vice versa, I don't know. But
and what, negotiate for peace?
Yeah, I think it's a. I don't think there's any way we're going to blast Russia out of Crimea without the kind of war that would require a lot of Americans directly involved. I don't see the American people going for that.
Well,
so if we're not going to blast them out of Crimea, why don't we just sue for peace?
Well, just on Sunday, we saw Ukrainian missiles land in Crimea, and we saw video of Russian tourists on the beach in Crimea running because of the missile of landing, you know, exploding there. Russia was criticized for putting their military assets into in the middle of public areas like these public beaches. Russia blamed the United States and vowed consequences for these missile strikes. And obviously Ukraine is being able to launch these missile strikes into Crimea, and there's predictions that they're softening Crimea for a full-on assault to reclaim it.
Well, they may be, but I just wonder how many places can Ukraine fight at once? You know, they're still fighting up in the Donbass and even further north in the Donbass at the Russian border. They're inside of Russia a little bit, in and out. Now they're going to go down and try to take Crimea. I'm not sure I think they'll be able to do it.
So even with their ability to use these first-person drones that they're kamikaze are, you know, exploding drones, they've shown their ability to take out at least 60 tanks a month, which is a higher number than Russia is able to resupply those tanks. You don't see that as a at least it's redefining warfare.
Well, it's definitely redefining the warfare. I just don't know that they'll be able to make it sustainable. And at the end of the day, you've got to occupy territory with people, not just by bombing things out. And that's why I worry whether the Ukrainians have resources.
So, but being able to, that's the question that's being put to Russia, that they're not able to occupy even these areas that they claim in Ukraine. They don't even have a military presence in some of these areas that Russia says belongs to them and that Vladimir Putin wants Ukraine to surrender to them. You know, I mean, they have no legitimate claim to these regions. And you think that should be part of the negotiations to give that up?
Well, if we can't get them out, and the Ukraine can't get them out, what's the alternative? Just continue to fight out infinitum? A deal that leaves them something that they would be willing to accept in exchange for pulling out of Donbass and having a peaceful solution to the conflict. I just don't know. I think that Russia is running low on people. Ukraine's running low on people. The only asset Russia has is they've got more of everything because they're bigger.
Let's go to a break. The number is 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're speaking with Ambassador Francis Rooney. He served as the U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican, the Holy See, And he's also served in Congress from Florida's 19th Congressional District. If you've got a question or a comment as we discuss the current situation in Ukraine and how to move forward, particularly given the fact that it's been in a stalemate for the last 2 years, give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Ambassador Rooney, over the weekend, we saw these attacks in Dagestan, which is a predominantly Muslim republic in southern Russia, that these attacks targeted Christians and also Jewish worshipers in the region, in the area, left 20 people dead. Russia's blaming this on Ukraine, but people were, you know, saying that's not really the case, that this is just part of a religious ethnic strife that they have in the region. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I don't think Ukraine did the Dagestan thing. I'd be surprised. I think that there's been so much. We could do the trash. So much acrimony, interreligious acrimony between the Muslims, the Chechens, the Orthodox Russians. It could have been any number of people that could have done that. There have been so many attacks on. In Chechnya, for example, that, you know, that are religiously inspired.
And so the issue that we see these, there's other people who have these predictions that Russia is teetering on collapse. The economy is not good. If the war isn't resolved soon, things could be tough for Putin moving forward. They're certainly moving many of their military assets to Ukraine and away from internal control. If Russia were to have an unraveling, I mean, it would seem like this kind of like lays out what that could look like. We would see these longstanding internal conflicts, racial, religious centered conflicts flare up, and it would just be chaotic in the former Russia.
Well, yeah, but also Putin's cracked down so much. He's really brought Russia back to like Stalin type of command and control of the economy and the military and the country, that they can sustain a lot of challenges the way he's got it locked down. I wouldn't bet against him yet till we see if they're going to run out of resources.
But is there a plan? Do you think, I mean, there are probably lots of plans on shelves, as you well know, you know, if they have all these guys who are paid to come up with this stuff, but what kind of thinking has been going into, like, what happens if something should happen to central control of Russia and the regional conflicts come into play? I mean, what would that mean for the international community?
Well, I don't think it would be good to have that level of instability right there on the border of the Baltics and Poland and Hungary and all that. I mean, there could be any number of things happen with Russians fighting Russians in Russia and bleeding out into neighboring territories. I mean, you know, when they put these authoritarian regimes, they keep everybody under a big thumb. And the world is removed. Look what we saw last time after the CIS.
Right. And so just people who may think, let's get rid of Putin, let's, you know, help accelerate Russia's collapse, what you get isn't necessarily going to be better. More likely, it will be worse.
It's quite possible. There's the rumor I've heard is that Phil Meade, promoted to be head of the military, would be the most likely successor. I don't think there's any daylight between him.
So today, the European Union launched membership talks with Ukraine. They say it will take years in order to conclude these talks and to actually move things into actual membership status. But just the fact that Ukraine is able to enter talks with the EU while still, you know, trying to deal with Russia's presence in the country, is that poking the bear with Putin?
Maybe a little bit, but I think it's the right thing to do. I think that the more we can move towards European, Ukraine, Western solution for this problem, would be acceptable with compromises on both sides of Ukraine and Russia, the better off we all are, because this thing keeps going like this.
Did you finish that thought, or did you? if it goes, if it continues like this, so a lot of people are concerned about Putin, you know, hitting the nuclear button to resolve this. I mean, I don't see how that would be a serious consideration, because if he had, if he does something like that, it would result in, I mean, the consequences internationally would be devastating for him.
Yeah, it's still a mutually assured destruction paradigm that kind of kept the world at peace, at an unsteady peace, for many years under the Cold War, that both sides could kill each other off.
So rather than launching a nuclear weapons, he's gone on to a massive attack on Ukraine's power grid. Right now, Ukraine energy facilities are just being bombed to smithereens. He's launching these massive bombs, conventional bombs, that are weigh tons, dropping them on these power generation sites and trying to really to end, which would be devastating for Ukraine come this winter. So this is targeting civilians in this war. Is that a distinction that has lost its meaning in the Ukrainian war, or Russia's invasion, that there are no civilians?
Well, I don't think for the civilians or not. I mean, like I say, he's got that country so locked down, like Stalin, who killed 30 million civilians. You know, it's not a good thing, but it is what we've got to face.
Right. So, but this is being called a war crime, but Putin has already been branded a war criminal by the international courts, which means that he, you know, he could eventually end up, you know, being tried for these atrocities.
Well, let's see who stands with condemn people anything about it. I mean, look, those guys actually some of the guys that accuse Israel of war crimes, stuff. Who takes them seriously?
Well, and so Putin just came back from North Korea, where he was on a diplomatic mission. It seemed pretty odd to see him, hanging out with the North Korean dictator Kim. The video, the impressions of that interaction between the two was not a good look for Putin.
Yeah, Putin went to secure resources. He's going to his suppliers, China, North Korea, Iran, and he'll probably have to do more of it because they're getting a lot more and more military products and things from them.
But North Korea was never considered, you know, on to be on the equal footing of Russia, and that they would have kept it, the impression of them as not being equals. But Putin having to go to North Korea hat in hand for to try to get more munitions would show that that Russia, either North Korea has been elevated or Russia has been has descended to its level.
Well, I think that there's probably a little bit of both of that. I mean, they have things that he desperately needs, and they maybe think he can drive a harder bargain with North Korea than he can China. I mean, you know.
Well, China has been reluctant to fully embrace supplying Russia because China is concerned about secondary sanctions, particularly from Europe, and China's got enough problems of its own right now, how does that seem to you?
Well, I think the two countries that are most likely to do whatever Putin wants, as long as he pays for the goods, are Iran and North Korea. You're right. China has got a lot of things to balance. They care about the relationship with Russia and this realignment of the non-Western, non-democratic countries, but they also care about not pushing us too far with sanctions. And the more we put sanctions on, and the more we reshore supplies to the Western Hemisphere, I think the better off we are. It puts us in a stronger bargaining position with China.
And so you were recommending that there be some sort of peace talks with Russia, entertaining Russia's offer that they would be able to keep some of the Ukrainian territory. And do you not see that as rewarding Russia and incentivizing their aggressor?
Yeah, I do see it as doing that, but I just don't know how long we can continue to not at least talk diplomatically about how to end this thing. And I don't think you're going to get a lot of talk out of Russia if you're talking about them leaving Crimea, unless somehow, like you alluded to, miraculously, Zelensky's group can upend Crimea. I think that's
Do you think so? If something were to happen in Crimea, and there are some military experts who are saying that that could happen, you know, cutting off Crimea from Russia, bombing the bridge, things like that, mm-hmm. that would change things. That would be the game changer.
Yeah, I think it probably would. Who knows what Russia would do to Ukraine then?
And so, but. Putin being, you know, in this position where he's trying to, you know, think logically about what are the consequences of all of these actions. He miscalculated originally when he said they were going to go on a 10-day temporary military action into Ukraine. This certainly has not worked out the way that he planned.
No, it hasn't. And it's exposed some grave weaknesses in the Russian type of command, military command, and the quality of their leaders. And I think that was a big surprise to a lot of people. But it's still they have a lot of resources. And even if they have to use a lot more resources than they should, if they were good, they do have a lot of resources. And they, again, in a war of attrition, the last man standing wins.
Well, the war of attrition, but, you know, if NATO jumps in fully into Ukraine, that would be, you see, could that happen?
I don't think that will happen. I don't think any Western country is going to put troops fighting Russia.
And that's because it would be unpopular back home.
Unpopular back home and risk an escalation that we can't foresee how far it might go.
And so do you think this has to end with talks? I mean, but you alluded to earlier that the United States should enter talks into directly with Russia, cut out Ukraine, but shouldn't it really be up to Ukraine to decide if they're running out of people, if they can't win the war?
Well, the ideal scenario would be the Western countries coming up with some plans and drawing both the Ukraine and Russia into a dialogue about them. That would be the ideal solution. Now, if Zelensky sits there and says, well, I won't cede one inch of territory to Russia,
so can you say that last part again? Because you cut out.
Oh, we might say
all right. Apparently, we've lost a call with Ambassador Francis Rooney. He represented Florida's 19th congressional district in the U.S. Congress from 2017 to 2021. And from 2005 to 2008, he served as the United States ambassador to the Holy See, the Vatican, and he was appointed by President George W. Bush. And he is recommending that there be serious peace talks with Russia in regards to the Ukrainian invasion, saying that he doesn't see how Ukraine can continue to fight the war because they don't have the manpower for that. But this battle will continue. We'll see how things move forward. Certainly, the battle continues, and the United States currently is supplying weapons and support to the Ukrainians. When we come back from the break, we're going to be discussing Alzheimer's at the presidential debate. Will this be an issue that the candidates are willing to discuss? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.